I'm going to read Psalm 139 to you, or with you, if you'd like to follow along in your pew Bibles. I will be reading from the Common English Bible. It's pretty close to the NRSV you have in your pews, but it just changes things a little bit, and I think makes it a little easier to hear. Let us listen to the word of the Lord. Lord, you have examined me. You know me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. Even from far away, you comprehend my plans. You study my traveling and resting. You are thoroughly familiar with all of my ways. There isn't a word on my tongue, Lord, that you don't already know completely. You surround me, front and back. You put your hand on me. That kind of knowledge is too much for me. It's so high above me that I can't fathom it. Where could I go to get away from your spirit? Where could I go to escape your presence? If I went up to heaven, you would be there. If I went down to the grave, you would be there too. If I could fly on the wings of dawn, stopping to rest only on the far side of the ocean, even there, your hand would guide me. Even there, your strong hand would hold me tight. If I said, the darkness will definitely hide me, the light will become night all around me, even then, darkness isn't too dark for you. Nighttime would shine bright as day, because darkness is the same as light to you. You are the one who created my innermost parts. You knit me together while I was still in my mother's womb. I give thanks to you that I was marvelously set apart. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My bones weren't hidden from you when I was being put together in a secret place, when I was being woven together in the deep parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my embryo, and on your scroll every day was written what was being formed for me before any one of them had yet happened. God, your plans are incomprehensible to me. Their total number is countless. If I tried to count them, they outnumber grains of sand. If I came to the very end, I'd still be with you. Skipping down to 23. Examine me, God. Look at my heart. Put me to the test. Know my anxious thoughts. Look to see if there is any idolatrous way in me. Then, lead me on the eternal path. The way of the Lord. Are the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The way and the word of the Lord. So I encourage you this morning, as we begin, to think over your life, where you've been, who you've gotten to know, what you've done. Perhaps this, too, is what the Psalter is doing. When they're exclaiming this beautiful poem, when all of a sudden they realize God has been there the whole time. This psalm is really a beautiful one and poetic, really. But one could do a lot worse than to actually build their theology upon this psalm. And there's at least four things in here that I think are worth paying attention to. One of them is pretty simple, and that the psalmist, in their midst of proclaiming things that they know about God, actually also speaks about what they don't know. Your ways are incomprehensible for me. There's always this mysterious part about God, and it's important to keep in mind that there are things that we just don't know. We can't fully know. But in the midst of that, the psalmist also proclaims three things that they do know. that God knows me, that God is with me, and that God leads me. Friends, as we journey through life, or maybe it'd be better to say stumble through life at times, I wonder how often that we feel alone, even and maybe especially when we're surrounded by people. I wonder how often we feel misunderstood, unable to completely be honest, sometimes even with ourselves. We might say this phrase or think it, I don't even know who I really am. I don't know about you, but in my 33 years of life, which I know for some makes me sound like a baby, and for others, you think, oh, I thought he was younger than that. But even in my 33 years of life, I'm still finding out a whole bunch about myself. Ways I respond to things, and stressful situations, or things that I rethink. I never thought I would rethink. In fact, a humorous conversation I had with a friend this summer who was talking about his recent retirement with he and his wife, he laughed and he said, you know, we spent our whole careers, you know, almost seeing each other just a few hours a day, and now we both retired at the same time, and now we spend almost every hour of every day together. And I began to notice that she has habits that I didn't even know about. I began to think to myself, do I even know this person that I've been married to for 40 years? Every year, we're learning a little bit more, aren't we? Never quite getting it all right. Never quite knowing it all. And it's wonderfully frustrating, isn't it? Well, the Psalter speaks about God in a beautiful way as the one who knows us. Knows when we get up, when we sit down, where we go, what we think. God is the one who knit us together in the womb. Now, as a side note for just a second, I know that some of us will look at this psalm and maybe get us thinking about that hot topic of abortion. But if we want to go there, we also have to consider about the size or shape or style of needles that God is using. I guess what I'm meaning to say is this is a metaphor, right? If I were to say that I drive a piece of junk around, you know, you're not wondering which piece of trash you threw away this week that I'm actually driving around the streets of Waterloo, right? It's a metaphor. What's happening is the psalmist is trying to put words, is trying to put language on this idea that God knows everything about us, our insides and our outs. It's like God knit us together in the womb. God knows us better than we know ourselves. Paul Tillich, who's a famous theologian and lived much of his life in the United States, sort of famously picked up on this idea when he famously coined a different word or a different term or name for God, when he began to refer to God as the ground of our being. Because if God knows us completely, then when we get to explore the most innermost parts of ourselves, we stumble upon God's presence in our lives. I want you to listen to this quote from one of his sermons that he gave. He said, if this word, God, has not much meaning for you, translate it and speak instead of the depths of your life, the source of your being, of your ultimate concern, of what you take seriously without any reservation. For if you know that God means depth, then you know much about him. You cannot then call yourself an atheist or an unbeliever, For you cannot think or say, life has no depth, life is shallow, being itself is surface only. If you could say this in complete seriousness, you would be an atheist. But otherwise, you are not. He who knows about depth knows about God. Both Tillich and this psalm are getting at this idea that at our very core, the us of us, the who we really are, the thing that gets us up in the morning, that which brings us joy and inspires, the thing that gives us meaning and purpose, the thing that gives us life, God is found there, at the very ground of our being. Well, the second thing that the psalm reminds us of is that God is always with us. Where could I go to escape you? Where could I go to flee from your presence? The psalmist explains. I can't go to heaven because clearly you're there. I can't go to the grave because you're there too. I couldn't even ride on the wings of dawn. It's like they're saying if I could travel at the speed of light, and resting only at the far side of the ocean, you would be there too. Friends, you can't outrun God. The psalmist even says, I can't even hide in the darkness, because dark and light are the same to you. Here, we have this reminder that God is like water to fish, is like air to us. God is in the farthest reaches of the cosmos and found at the subatomic particle level. We are simply inseparable from God. But what does this mean? Better said, why does this matter? Well, on the cusp of the school year, as we're trying to celebrate today, or at least pay attention to, there's this getting back to work mode that maybe we're all in if things ramp up at your work like it does here at mine, because now we have the beginning of the church programming year. Friends, that God is with us wherever we go matters, and because it means that no matter where we go, no matter what we do, and no matter who we encounter, God is there. That space is holy, and that task is sacred. Maybe that's your work, and maybe that's just grocery shopping. Because God is with us, and with you there. Take another brainy quote, which, by the way, if you're going to get your heads around this one, it's going to knock your socks off, so tie your shoes. I'm glad to hear a few people are still paying attention. This one comes from Deschardin, he's a famous philosopher, and this is a little quicker, so I'll read it twice, a little shorter, I mean. We are not human beings having spiritual experiences. We are spiritual beings having human experiences. I don't know if you've heard that before, but let me say it again. We are not human beings having spiritual experiences, but we are spiritual beings having human experiences. My friends, how do you is it that you think of yourself and your life? Are you just going through things, trying to make it work? Occasionally, maybe something clicks or goes well. Or maybe you say a prayer every once in a while, or you go to church, or you pick up your Bible and you decide occasionally to feed that spiritual side. Well, I think this quote challenges us to think maybe we've got it backwards. Perhaps we aren't physical beings just trying to get through another day. Perhaps we are spiritual beings, and everything we do, every place we go, every person we meet is filled with infinite depth and meaning and importance. Because even grocery shopping matters. It matters to the farmer, matters to your body, it matters to your kids, right? Matters to your bank account. Yep, even the basic of physical things that we do has spiritual meaning and implications. So the question kind of lingers as we think about the psalmist's reminder of God being everywhere we go. Do you feel like a spiritual being? Do you see God in the ordinary? Well, lastly, and this is crucial, we are told that God leads us. I love this prayer at the end of the psalm. It says, Lord, you know my anxious thoughts. Search me and see if there is any idolatry in me, any way in which I'm not falling in line with what is good or true or meaningful. So I ask you, is there anyone out there that has some anxiety in them? Is there anyone out there who isn't sure if they're always doing what is good or faithful or true? I love the closing to the psalm because it gets at what is really honest. Now, if you read along with me or you noticed in the bulletin that I skipped over a little section of the psalm, and it was in that section that the psalmist spoke about the hope that God would get rid of the wicked people. But the psalm closes with this beautiful prayer, actually asking God to get rid of the wickedness in me. And then to do what? It asks, lead me on the eternal path. Lead me on the lasting path. The good path. The redemptive path. There's a whole bunch of ways you can translate that word. Lead me on the path that leads to life. Lead me in the way that really matters. There's a story about a woman who is getting through her day, and she is just rushing and trying to get her kids off. They woke up late. They just have a lot to do. So she finally gets them fed, and she's walking down the street to get them off to school. And then she realizes she's only got about a minute to catch her train, so she's running off to try to get her train to work, And as she's about to jump on the train, she realizes that she forgot her pass, and she doesn't have any money on her. But she makes the decision to jump on the train anyway because she doesn't want to be late. And so she's sitting there in her seat at the end of the train and just hoping and praying that the ticket taker won't come today or won't check every cart. But then, sure enough, she sees him walking from the front of the train to the back. Tickets, tickets, let me see your tickets. And she's wondering, thinking about what she's going to say. Is there anything she can make up, some excuse? And when the man finally gets to her and says, ticket, please, she realizes that she is just completely out of energy to fake it anymore. And she just looks at him and says, honestly, I don't have a ticket. And I don't have any money either. So the man then sits down at the empty seat across from her, and they begin to have a conversation, and it's a wonderful conversation, and it even turns to talking about their kids that they both have, And the guy gets out his wallet and he shows pictures of the kids and they share stories and they even laugh a little. And then finally the woman's stop comes and she says, this is my stop and I'm supposed to get off here, but I really don't have any money. And the man says to her, that's okay. It's just good to be seen. It's just good to be seen. You can imagine from his perspective, right, that people hardly ever look at him. And here was this woman without money or without ticket. But what she did do was look at him. So my friends, as we close the reflection on this psalm, I encourage you, and I hope the words of the psalm encourage you, actually, to be reminded that God is the one that really knows you. And may yourself be wondering and pondering about what it is that really gets you out of bed in the morning. And may you find God in that place as well. And may you know that God is with you wherever you go, in the difficult, in the hard, in the important tasks that you do throughout your year, but also in the little and mundane things as well. And may you know that it's good to be seen, and may it lead you on the eternal path. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to sing with me this famous chorus a couple times through. Our God is an awesome God.